There are some people,
those who say
they cannot tell,
say they cannot tell
whether we are saved,
whether we are saved,
whether all is
well.
Tells me salvation is not real, though the world may argue that we cannot fail, and even though Satan tries to tell me no.
Do you know when it happened? Do you remember the moment, the hour that Jesus wonderfully saved you? Oh, boy. I remember 1952 on a Tuesday night, the East Burlington Church of God on the corner of Flannel and Maple Street in East Burlington, North Carolina, about 8:30 in the evening. A young preacher gave the invitation, and a little old kid, 16 years old, I mean, nothing but a little ruffling, just a brat, and hid it down that altar. And Jesus turned my life around, made me his property. Do you understand? Made me his property. I don't remember a moment when I wasn't called to preach. I don't remember a moment when I didn't know I was called to preach. Thank God for the glorious saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I've got a program today that I've got to get your attention. I pray that you will hit that share button and share it with everybody on your Facebook. If you're listening by internet, call your friends on the phone. If you're here in a radio station, call your friends on the phone. You've got to get this program out there to as many as you can. I'm going to talk today from the book of Revelation, chapter 18, trafficking. Trafficking in human souls. Now you got to hear those words, trafficking in human souls. Did you know that our world has reached a point where the biggest trafficking, the biggest business, the biggest thing happening is the trafficking in human souls. It started nearly about 50 years ago when we started aborting children. When it became normal to abort children and to kill them in the mother's womb. It was nothing but trafficking in human souls. Now, that truth has never rested in me until the Holy Ghost arrested me this week and showed me that every abortion is traffic in the human soul. Every one of those babies is an eternal soul. Every one of those babies is an eternal soul. Are you hearing me? And that abortion doctor, or that nurse, or that assistant in the operating room, I guess is what they would use to abort babies. And you understand, it is trafficking in human souls. Every one of those little darlings that they pull out of that mother's womb after they kill it, or they kill it as they pull it out. In some cases, they kill it after it's been pulled out. And that's a soul. That's an eternal soul. And they are trafficking in human souls. Now, I'm going to let you follow me, and through the Bible, we're going to see how this beginning of trafficking in human souls has reached a place now. It's trafficking in human lives on an incredible worldwide scheme. Can I tell you, you're going to be overwhelmed when you know the truth about abortion. 56.3 million a year in 2016. Listen, did you hear that? 46.3 million a year in 2016 and growing 46 million a year, babies aborted. No, I'm not talking about babies aborted. I'm talking about mothers and sons and children that are kidnapped. I've gone from abortion to kidnapping. Kidnapping and moving these people into either forced sex, a forced labor, a forced marriage. Either one of those three, forced sex, forced labor, a forced marriage. All three. I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know whether you're going to believe some of the figures I'm going to give you today, but I'm going to tell you they're not easy for me to give them to you. So please hit that share button and let's get the world listening. We are dealing with the devil's last vileness. The devil will never produce anything more vile than trafficking in human souls. You can't get beyond that. That's when the devil invaded eternity. He invaded the eternal life of multiplied millions. He invaded the eternal life and the eternal soul of multiplied millions. And it's the last vileness of hell. Am I telling you? The Holy Ghost flows through me, and I sense that anointed presence telling me, I'm prophesying to you. When I tell you the devil is on his last vile rampage, the devil is on his last vile rampage. His days are numbered, friend. His days are numbered, friend. And I hope I can get this to the multitude of you listening to me today. I'm going to continue tomorrow in the pulpit right here. The broadcast today, the sermon tomorrow are going to be interwoven together in a continuation. Am I going to put the one tomorrow on the internet? Don't know yet. I think you ought to come and hear me tomorrow and hear the rest of this, because I'm talking to you out of the eternal realm of the divine. I'm telling you what God is saying and where we are at and what we have come to. And I pray you will get the message today. Now, remember, the program title is Trafficking. Trafficking in Human Souls. Trafficking in Human Lives. Not trafficking with babies. Oh, that's part of the process. But it's trafficking in human life. When a little three-year-old is stolen from a crib somewhere and taken into the hands of the kidnappers, we don't call that trafficking in life. We call it trafficking in soul. We don't call it trafficking in soul. We call it trafficking in human life. But really, it's trafficking in souls. The whole business is trafficking in souls. And I'm going to show you, starting with abortion. Then I'm going to the immoral breathtaking descent of anything that's moral and pure and holy in the whole realm of humankind. The world of pornography has become so rotten and so filthy. It don't even have the decency of what human love is all about. It's passed far beyond any decency of human love. It's nothing but the vilest of lust and vileness. And so today, we're going to talk about trafficking in human souls. Now, to get the message clear, let's go to our Bible. Let's go to the book. Let's see if God said this. It's always important to know that God said it, that it's the hand of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the great mercy of God. I've got a new Bible now. It's on a computer, and I can read it without an ounce of problems. And so I read to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 18 and verse 12, the merchandise of gold. We're talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist. We're talking about the great world of the devil during those 7 years of the tribulation period. We're talking about when money and wealth and all kinds of business just shines and grows to an indescribable level. And now we see coming down to the end of those 7 years, and all of this is coming to a halt. And God is destroying the kingdom of the Antichrist. And here it says, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all many vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. Now listen, don't stop reading. Don't stop listening. And cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots. Now notice, and slaves and souls of men and souls of men. I've read that through the years, studied it many times, but never dawned on me just how profound that word, the souls of men. The Antichrist deals not only with merchandise and all kinds of precious things, but he deals with the most precious of all, and that's slaves and the souls of men. So we're at the hour of the trafficking of human souls. The trafficking of human souls. It started over 50 years ago. It really started way back in the beginning of human history when man sinned. But it has grown to a level and to a position and a place that it is beyond human understanding. The whole business of the trafficking of human souls. You see, you can't separate no life from soul. We are all eternal souls. Every baby conceived in a mother's womb is an eternal soul. Every baby. It's a marvelous divine act. You say, I don't believe a baby in the womb, let's say a day or 2 days or a week, is a human soul. Well, then go with me into your Bible, to the book of Luke, and go to chapter 1, and watch as Mary is conceived by the Holy Ghost, and she's with child, and immediately, within hours, she's leaving her home to go over to cousin Elizabeth. As she goes to cousin's home, and when she enters the door, cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And I'm sure Mary knew about this, and her becoming pregnant with child made her and Martha, her and John the Baptist's mother very, very close in friends. And so quickly, Mary goes to Elizabeth's home. And when she enters the door now, she enters the room where Elizabeth is, heavy with 6 month child, who will be John the Baptist, who is John the Baptist. And immediately, the baby John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And the Bible says Elizabeth and Jesus and John the Baptist, I'm sorry there, Elizabeth and John the Baptist are both filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Mary, heavy with child Jesus, only hours but heavy. Only hours heavy, not in pounds, but in divine plan, God's divine scheme, God's great miracle. And so Elizabeth and her son in the womb are both filled with the Holy Ghost because infant Jesus in the womb of Mary has just entered the house. Now, do you need any further? I'll never forget, I was asked by the Democrat Party to debate abortion at a home over off of Sharon Road, which happened at a church. I'm sorry, not a home, a church. It happened to be a church. What were they called? What are they called? Anyhow, it's, you know, it's not a church of a biblical faith, but a church of humanism, a religious humanism. I went in that place that night. It was filled, Democrats and Republicans. The sheriff was there. It was a great crowd. And when it come my time to speak, God had told me, don't argue abortion. Talk about the Bible. And so I took him in the Bible. I showed him the old prophet of God, whom God told him, I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. And then I went to the scripture of Jesus in Mary's womb and Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Ghost. And a man full of demons on the front row in that place started screaming. I mean, it was hideous. You knew it was devil. You knew it was demons. I didn't even waver. I didn't even slow my speech. I didn't even change the level of my voice. God just anointed me. Hallelujah. And I'll never forget that night. Oh, that was a special night when God was saying something to the crowd of people here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, we are living in a day when the truth of the Bible has never been more needed. If people would just go to their Bible, they'd find the answer to everything out there. I remember when God gave me the term false anointing, describing the charismatic hoopla and deception as the false anointing. Did videos and went all over the world. I went to other countries to speak after the videos had circulated. I'm telling you, God is a God of wisdom and God is a God of infinite knowledge. And so this week, He shows me that abortion is absolutely merchandising in human souls. Now, every one of you mothers out there, I want you to get the understanding. If you continue in your wickedness and you continue on your road to hell, the day will come when you look across the great divide, or maybe I should say the baby on the other side that you aborted will look across the great divide, and you will see that little child that you put to death because you wanted the liberty to continue your immoral conduct. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So you need to know, mothers. That's why you need to get right with God. Mothers that have had abortions, let God wash you of that sin, and then you will see your little one in heaven, and you can rejoice and praise God for that little one. Though you aborted it, God sustained it, and now you will see it. Now, when you understand this, that abortion is dealing, it is trafficking in human souls. It makes the whole abortion industry an industry that you must understand. Somebody says, I'm going to vote for people. I don't care what they say about abortion. You ought not to ever vote for somebody who believes in abortion because you're voting for trafficking in human souls. You are voting for trafficking in human souls. Now, let's go on. We're not going to spend a whole time there. I want you to understand that. That's overwhelming material. And so we move from abortion in trafficking in human souls. And then we move on up a little further. And we've got the immoral decay and compromise and wickedness that our world has come to. Do you remember when I led the fight against against pornography shops in Charlotte? We had them all over the state. There were 700 and some in the state of North Carolina. And God helped us to lead a brigade of good people, and we closed them down. Now, a few of them have opened back up, but nothing like it was. I was warned over and over that the mafia would get me, but I always said they got to go through my angels to get me, because I am a man protected by angels right down to this hour. In fact, I'm often hearing people say those angels are going to be glad when you're out of here and go to heaven because you got them wore out. No, no, they don't get wore out. They don't have to sleep. They're faithful wherever they have a man or woman that trusts them and depends upon them. So please understand that abortion moved into the moral pornography. I mean, just an onslaught of sex sins and sex conduct. And now it's gone far beyond sex sins until it's depravity. It is so dark. Not long ago, I watched just a few minutes of some of the filth that now is called pornography. It's far beyond what it was in 1980s when I fought the battle against the pornographic shops across North Carolina. It's far beyond that. It's so depraved and filth and morally disgusting. You couldn't look at it if you wasn't completely depraved on the inside. You couldn't get involved in it if you didn't have a depraved heart. There's just no way. There's just no way you could get involved in it without a depraved heart. And I'm telling you, it has now moved to the last realm, and that's trafficking in living men and women on the face of this earth. I don't know how, but I want to, you already understand the business of abortion. I don't need to spend a long time there. And you understand the pornographic world that is all around us, that has consumed us. It's no longer the enjoyment of love between two people. It's nothing but moral rot. That's all you can say for it, moral rot. So I want to go to the third point, and I want to talk about this human trafficking that's now gripped the world. The human trafficking gripped the world. 46.3 million people are kidnapped every year over the world with the whole business in it of trafficking in their souls, in their bodies, in their life. 26, 25 million go into forced labor. 15 million go into forced marriage. All of it almost entirely is part of false sex and the use of sex. And that's overwhelming. Overwhelming. Now, I tried to learn about North Carolina. I was concerned about my state and what's happening in my state. Let me give you some figures that go with this. Brace yourself. Don't turn off the TV. You need to know this. You need to learn to cry and sigh over this abomination. I don't understand why the church isn't full of people who get in the altar and weep and sob and cry and sigh. I don't understand it. I go to the altar. My heart's so moved and so broken. Knowing what's going on out there and weeping for our world, it's amazing. Now, let me give you some figures. 96% of all the people that are aborted, that are kidnapped and moved into this worldwide trafficking, 96% of them are female. Only 4% are male. The children who are used in this for the sex trade are made to have sex an average of 5 times a day. Little children, teenagers, young people, made to have sex 5 times a day. Now listen to that. Listen to that. The average life, let's say, of a 12-year-old girl that's kidnapped from a mother, from a family, and put into this sex trade will die in 7 years. Their average lifespan is 7 years. I mean, it's hell on earth. I mean, how do you describe a life like that, where a kid is put into a room and locked up, and men are brought there 5 times a day to enjoy what they call enjoy the sex of that little one? Oh, friend, do you understand? We're dealing with something so vile, it blows my little mind. Every 2.5 hours, every 2.5 hours, a child is grabbed somewhere in America now. Somewhere in America, every 2.5 hours, a little girl, a little boy, mostly girls, but sometimes an older girl, is suddenly grabbed and disappears and never found again. Now, 50% of all of these are children. 50% of everybody in America that's abducted is children. Little children, little minors, every 2.5 hours. That blows my mind. That right now is said by statistics, and I have to go by what I read on all the statistics, 100 to 150,000 people are in locked up captivity in America right now. 100 to 150,000 people, children, young girls, young ladies, even a few young men are locked up. They're in captivity and being used regular for the purpose of their owner. I mean, that's just plain overwhelming. I hope you feel the pain of it as bad as I do. I mean, you talk about hurting. It makes me hurt. It really makes me hurt. Let me tell you the story of Sarah. Are you listening? Will you listen to a story? This is Sarah. This is a little story. This is a true story. I don't have all the details, but I have enough details to share with you. Well, Sarah worked at a fast food place. Just a young teenager, just barely old enough to get a worker's permit. And she's working. And a young man comes in that has a striking personality. And he's got money. I mean, he's got all the money he needs. And he begins to just befriend her. And before you know it, he's buying a meal. And then he's taking her out. Then he's involved with her. And she becomes a deep friend, and she loves her new friend. But then he introduces her to an older person. Maybe, I don't know exactly, the story don't tell me, but apparently he was to take her to meet her friend. He probably had to work that night in his story. And so the older man is bringing the little lady from the fast food place when she gets off of work and taking her to meet her friend, but she never sees her friend again. Suddenly, she is the object now. She has been abducted, and she's in the possession of this trafficker, the young man that wooed her and got her attention and got her on his side, has been paid his fee. And so now he can move on to another girl. He's got Sarah in the hands of her kidnapper, her trafficker, and she's suddenly being used for sex. She's locked up in the home. When he leaves, he puts her in a dog cage, so there's no way she can get out through a window or anything. Has her all locked. And this goes on for some time. And then suddenly, she finds a way to escape. And she runs and finds the police. And they are able to take her story and deliver her. And then they can find the home where she'd been run, where she'd been kept captive. And they go and arrest the man. And they free other girls that were in other rooms, locked in the same house. And they were all being used. And this man had this thriving traffic of businessmen and well-to-do men. And some of them politicians. And some of them even clergymen that were coming to him and enjoying the so-called enjoying the bodies of these captives that was in his home. But she escaped. Sarah got out, and there's a fund for Sarah right now. And there are people using her as a champion cause to try to uncover the darkness of this trafficking in human lives. Do you know America is at the head of this trafficking enterprises? And do you know that thousands are being sold? Do you understand the man that just died in the jailhouse up in New York that had an island off the coast of Florida and an airplane? And he was carrying some of the biggest names in politics. Some of the biggest names in politics. And he was hauling them backwards and forwards to his island to have sex with his captives and his young so-called ladies that he had got into his traffic. And, of course, they don't know whether he was killed or whether he killed himself. But it is believed that he was killed because he had the names and he had all the descriptions and he had all the story of all of his traffickers, or I should say customers. He was the trafficker and the others were customers. Now, friend, that couldn't have happened in America if abortion had not started that downward trend of respect for human life. You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm an old man. I got 5 great-grandbabies. 4 of them are precious, beautiful little girls. One of them is a beautiful, precious young son, great-grandson now. And I've loved my grandbabies, and I love these kids in this school. I love them with a passion that's indescribable. Indescribable. Every kid that's ever been in this school has been treated the grandest as possible. They've never had to worry about some old person. Somebody would bother them. I mean, we have strict rules. I don't even let a teacher take a little child up on their lap. I say, no way. You don't touch that child in any way. You make sure of that, because you don't ever want anything to happen that would put a mark on this school or your life. And we've never had one. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And I'm telling you, folks, we ought to love children and young people, and we ought to have some passion about this trafficking. It's going on big time. Are you understanding me? It's going on big time. I was just read where in Houston, Texas, there's 6,000 runaway kids. 6,000 runaway kids, minors, they said. Boys and girls, but mostly girls probably. 6,000 in one city. In one city. 6,000 runaway kids. The things I read, I spent, I guess, an hour, a little over, just digging through the statistics and looking at what was happening, how bad it is. And North Carolina is a bad state for trafficking of little children. North Carolina, do you hear me? So don't you go anywhere with your little ones that you don't keep your eye on them. And you're very careful with them. And you make sure they're somewhere that's safe. Very often I have to go out in the parking lot because somebody will come walking through this campus. Just go into the neighborhood behind, but we don't know. And I go out and stop them. I won't forget some time ago, 2 big old boys was coming through. And I went out and stopped them. And one of them, big old guy, twice as much as I weigh, walked up in my face and said, "Who's going to stop me?" I had a little space between me and him, so I covered that space in my own. And I said, "Have you ever had hold of a Holy Ghost-filled man, sir? Have you ever had hold of a Holy Ghost-filled man?" And I can tell you, he turned and walked away. What was you going to do next? I don't know what I was going to do next, but God knows. I was just standing up for my father and standing up for these kids on this campus. Friend, I'm telling you, we're living in a dark hour, but it's coming to a close. We are so near the end. I want to tell you something that's going to happen. And I believe this is going to happen. I don't know the date, and I don't know the time, and I can't tell you yet. The Holy Ghost told me. I just tell you way down in my heart with it throbbing. I believe that Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. is going to be reduced to ashes and rubbles. I really believe that. I believe it's going to be reduced to ashes and rubbles. It may be after the rapture. It may be before the rapture. But I'm praying for it to happen, because the Supreme Court opened the door. They shredded our Constitution. They shredded the Bible. They shredded every truth that we know is foundational to truth. And they forced Americans to have to allow abortion, to have to allow same-sex marriage, to have to allow so much of this filth. And now they can't stop. They would like to stop probably this trafficking in little children. I'm not sure they'd like to stop it. There's too many people in the courts of law and in the higher positions of authority that have become victims. I'm fixing to take you to the book of Romans. Let me get my Bible here. I want you to open your Bible. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. And I want to show you what happens when people lose their sense of morality. They lose their sense of decency. They lose their sense of human value. Are you hearing me? They lose their sense of human value. It blows my mind that we could so lose our sense of human value. How does it happen? How in the world does it happen? I do not know. And I know my machine's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, because I'm on the air here. Hallelujah. But I'll find it, or I got my Bible laying here. Now hear me. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. The Holy Word of God. I don't believe that. Hallelujah. But I'll find it. I'll find my way. I'm good. I'm good eventually. Eventually. Here we go. No. Yeah, I'm almost there. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Let's go to verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. I got you. I'm there. For the invisible things of Him. that's God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When you ignore God, when you put God to the trash bin, when you throw the Bible away as the Supreme Court did, as many religious leaders have done, as many professional politicians have done, then you lose your sense of the Godhead, and he says they are without excuse. I want to tell every one of you abortionist doctors, you don't have an excuse. I want to tell you mothers that are having your babies aborted, you don't have an excuse. I want to tell you preachers that don't get in the pulpit and cry out against abortion and pornography and now the trafficking in human souls. You're not worth your salt. You need to understand there is no excuse, because when they knew God, listen, when they knew God, see, America has known God. I remember when the Charlotte Observer gave a report that 80% of Americans believed in the rapture. 80% believed in the rapture. Now it probably isn't 20%. See, they knew God. They glorified him not as God, the Bible said, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. The biggest problem in America right now is people are vain in their imagination. They cannot grasp the truth of the Bible. They cannot grasp the immorality that stalks our land. They cannot grasp what has caused this trafficking in human lives. I don't think there's many out there that doesn't feel the pain of this trafficking in little girls and little boys and little teenage ladies and the use of them in all kinds of vileness and wickedness. What I've said to you is so dark until it blows my little mind. It does. I can hardly handle it, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. And listen, their foolish hearts were darkened. The only way you can understand the liberalism that's out there, the despite against God that's out there, the despite against the Sabbath day, the despite against the nation of Israel, the despite for abortion and all the wickedness that goes with the abortion, the passion after all kinds of illicit living and illicit sex acts and sex experiences, all of it, you have to understand their foolish hearts were darkened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I got family members, not my immediate family, but family members in my extended family who are crazy. They're fools about this whole liberalism that's come to grip America. They don't even understand it. It don't make sense to them. They are for killing unborn babies. They've bought into the idea. They're not babies. They're just a fetus. They're just a glob of flesh that hasn't yet breathed the breath of air outside the mother's womb. And so they forget that they are souls. They forget that they're souls. And that is so sad when you see all of this happening. And it's taking place everywhere around you. Do you understand? It's overwhelming. And my brothers and sisters, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now notice, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into images like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God, now listen, you got to hear this. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to uncleanness. You have to understand that. I know what's going on in the pornography world. I know what's going on in this business of trafficking in little girls and little boys. I know what's going on in this use of little girls for sex trade. And some man is just gathering in his riches of money because he's got people coming to his house to have sex with his little girls that he's got locked up in rooms. Do you understand how vile that is? And it's happening multiple thousands of times across our globe, across our world. And what do we do? Does anybody know what to do? Knowing what to do is almost an impossibility. It really is. Really is. So God also gave them up to unclean. When God gives you up to uncleanness, it is no end to the darkness that you will fall prey to. When God gives you up to uncleanness, man, you just go further and further down the pit, down the road to hell, down the road to death and darkness and every imaginable foulness. I'm not kidding you. Oh, I got to stop. Now listen, I want to stop a minute. I'm going to come right back to this scripture. Tomorrow, I'm going to continue this message in the pulpit. And I want you to be here. I really, you say, can you not put it up on the, I may do that shortly. But tomorrow, I want to continue this message. And I want to pray for God to visit Charlotte. And I want you to be here. I want every one of you out there that doesn't have a church home, you're lost and you want to be saved, come tomorrow and give your life to Christ. Get yourself free of all this vileness that's taken over our world. We've got a safe place. Every other pew is closed. We have a place for you to sanitize your hands when you come in the door. I will sanitize every spectrum of this building in the morning before you get here. And the cockroaches will be running for cover when I get through. I promise you. I am determined to make you safe in this place. Just like this week in the school, I'm determined. We start Monday. We will have a safe school if there's any possibility. And if somebody gets sick, it'll be something they did the night before or something they did the weekend before. So remember that. Come tomorrow and hear the rest of this sermon. But I got some other things to tell you in a minute. So let's take those. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. Notice that. People dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. Listen, which changed the truth of God into a lie. Changed the truth of God into a lie. Changed the Bible into a lie. Made this a lie and the destroyers of life become the means of your so-called wisdom, oh friend, come on, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature instead of the Creator. Isn't that breathtaking? Is that not what our world is doing? They're worshiping the creature, the flesh, the body, instead of the Creator. The way they gather the monies and their wealth, it's overwhelming. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Man, pornography is the vilest thing you'll ever look at as you watch human beings change the natural use of the body into that which is against nature. I'm not going to try to describe it. It's too vile. I mean, I can. I've seen enough of it. When we were fighting this fight, man, had to go see it. I'd take somebody with me, and I'd come home and pray, God, get that out of my mind. That's vile. That's filthy. And how many times I had to pray for God to cleanse my mind and get that stuff out, because it would wreck your feelings. It would make life feel so dirty and unclean. But God's a good God. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, what is a reprobate mind? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Do you grab that? Listen carefully. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That meant a mind completely void of the things that are decent. A mind completely void of truth. A mind that no longer understands righteousness. A mind that no longer understands the value of human life. A mind that can look at a little girl and see her not as a beautiful little granddaughter or daughter, but as an object of some old man's lust and to be used in a vile and evil and unclean fashion, making those little girls perform oral sex on these old, ugly, greedy, godless men. Friend, I'm overwhelmed with all of it. And I'm here to tell you, God is going to have the God's going to have the last word. Are you listening to me? God's going to have the last word, and it isn't long in coming. I can tell you, as a man of God sitting here, 84 years of age, soon to cross over to the golden side. Oh, what a day that's going to be. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is Christ. I'm living for Christ, and I'm looking for a Holy Ghost river coming sweeping down across the church world and bringing multiple sinners to the saving merits of the cross. What an hour that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. And friend, I'm bringing you the truth with all I got. That's all I know how to do, is bring you the truth with all I got. But God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, being filled with this. Now these are people who are filled with this. They become flooded with it. It takes over their life. You know people like that. You read about people that we've been reading so much about, these wicked men. These wicked men that their only object was to find a woman and to just get every bit of morality she had out of her and just to become vile. Oh, I don't know how to say it. But being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering, backbiters, haters of God, haters of God. Do you see the hatred out there for God? Do you hear it in the political world? Do you see it in all the dark things that are happening all over the globe, all over America? Do you see it in the great things that are happening? Do you see it with people protesting, but not really protesting, robbing and destroying and killing? Did you see that policeman this week on the news? That two men stopped him and started beating him. And he's laying on the ground completely maybe unconscious. I'm not sure. But they're kicking him and they're stomping him. And they're just trying to beat the hell out of him. I mean, and they're really beating the hell out of themselves is what they're doing. I'm telling you, folks, we are looking at something that is so horrible, it's almost impossible. These are despiteful, they're proud, they're boasters, they're inventors of evil things, they're disobedient to parents, they're without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, no natural affection, you hear that? Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. If you have pleasure in those people that are protesting and fighting and destroying, if you have pleasure in them, you're just as wicked as they are. You're just as guilty as they are. The Bible says you'll get the same judgment as the ones you rejoice in. If you rejoice in those people who are aborting children, you're just as guilty as if you killed the baby. Can you imagine taking a knife and sticking it in a mother's womb and killing that little baby that's jumping around and kicking and getting ready to come out of there and fill his world with laughter and joy and peace? Great day. I had my two little great-granddaughters from Maine in my home a couple weeks ago. And what a joy. What a joy. I mean, my granddaughter and my daughter, they vacuumed the floor. We got beautiful carpet in our house. It's 30 years old and still as pretty as when we put it in there because we've always kept it clean. It's a very light color, almost white, but it's still clean, shines after 30 years because we took care of it. And they shampooed it and didn't want me to wear my shoes. And I took my shoes off at the door so my little grandbabies could play in absolute cleaning. Now, that's how I love children. I hope you love them like that. Worthy. Let me read that last verse. Not, but who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Don't you rejoice in them abortionists. Don't you vote for nobody who believes in aborting children. I'm telling you right now, if you do, you're going to answer to God. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I want to take you over to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to conclude with that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the greatest chapters you'll find in this Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Come on here. This is powerful. And I don't have much time, but I got about 12 minutes. I meant to ask you if you'd like to call. Before I go to this, let's take some calls. The phone's ready. It's made where when you dial, I'll hear it, and I'll put you right in. Okay, grab your phone and let me hear from you. I would love to have you on the line, and I'll do my best to answer the question you have. So grab your phone and call, will you? Grab your phone and call, and I promise you, I will take joy in answering your call and talking with you. 704-391-0588. Let's put a number up there. 704-391-0588. There you are, number. I want to put that theme back. You know what? The theme today is breathtaking to me. It really is. Trafficking. I meant to leave it up the whole time, and I didn't. Trafficking in human souls. Trafficking in human souls. Now grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Left to have some questions here this last 12 minutes. Would you like to call? I want to remind you now, our school starts Monday. We'd love to have you. Oh, we'd love to have your children. This is going to be the safest place in Charlotte if we can accomplish it, and we're going to. There won't be no slack here. You're welcome to call me when the program is over. Same number. Call me anytime this evening. I'll be glad to try to help you if you're interested in a school that's really going to be the top of the line. I really believe that. Top of the line. The best teachers you can imagine. The best teachers you can imagine. Preaching tomorrow night is a street preacher named Jim Gillis. How many of you know Jim? Oh, he's a great guy, a big guy. He preached 4 hours yesterday down in Columbia, South Carolina at the university. And he'll be at others around Charlotte over next week. And that's his life. He preaches on college campuses with children. He's also going to try to preach at the conventions, the Republican convention, whatever. I don't know. But I'm behind him. And I've always found him very, very faithful. And he's staying in my house. And he's over there cleaning up my yard right now. So I thank him. I thank him. Okay? So I hope you'll come here tomorrow night at 6. But in the morning's me. Joe Chambers, I'll be finishing this sermon. I'm overwhelmed with what I'm dealing with today. Trafficking in human lives, in children. I had no idea it had reached such an epidemic stage. I really didn't. I didn't know it had gone out the roof. I'm telling you, it's gone out the ceiling. And it's all because we started it 50 years ago, approximately, with abortion. It's just been a growing wickedness, a growing vileness, a growing abuse of humankind, a growing misunderstanding of the whole business of human life, complete misunderstanding of human life. Let's take a call here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yes, sir.
Let me get this volume up. I'm trying to turn you up, and for some reason, it didn't go up. Go ahead now. Oh, I got you. Go ahead now. I can hear you.
Yes, sir. Let you know, I think you're doing a fine job of proclaiming the word of the Lord, and I've been hearing you quite some time now from the later 90s, and I just want to say I appreciate you and appreciate your stand for the word of God and what you mean.
Well, you know, this whole business of trafficking in human souls, is that not overwhelming?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever thought of abortion as a traffic in a human soul? Every one of those little babies that those doctors are murdering, and those mothers are murdering, and those nurses are murdering, they're human souls. They'll live eternity forever.
Amen.
And it's overwhelming, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And it's worse than it was back in the 90s. But I tell you what.
It's just been growing ever since I've been a preacher, man. This is my 60. I'm just finishing 63 years. I'll be starting 64 in September as a pastor, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Yes, sir. It's a sad time, but I'm with you. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way home. But it's time we, the Christians, stand up and stand up more for Christ in days now than ever before. We need to sound out the trumpet, sound out the warning that Jesus saves and that, you know, we need him more than ever. And when people get left here, it's going to be too late to call on them.
All right, let me tell you one thing I'm going to tell everybody in closing. You remember the story in the Bible where God came to Jerusalem and visited and told the men of God there, go all over this city and you mark every man that's crying and sighing over this abomination that's come to our country. I am believing that God right now is speaking through this broadcast and Brother Chambers, and God is saying to every man and woman out there listening to me, it's time for you to cry and sigh over this abomination that's coming against your nation and coming against your city and coming against your state and coming against the world. So will you start sighing and crying before God with us, my brother?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Now give us a call. We would love to have you on the line. Anybody out there would be welcome. So grab your phone and call if you please. We'd love to hear from you. The phone is now open for your call. The phone is now open for your call. 704-391-0588. Thank you, sir. You know, a lot of people really, I think, waking up. That's what I'm thinking. And we got 8 minutes to hear from others of you that have woken up. That you need to wake up. You need to cry and sigh over this abomination. What I have shared today is an abomination. That's all you can say for it. An abomination. Little girls and little boys, mostly little girls, as I noticed, 96% are female. Friend, and we're talking about millions. We're talking about millions that are being kidnapped on a regular basis. Every 3.5 hours in America, a little girl or a little boy, a teenager is kidnapped and taken into this industry of the trafficking world. It breaks my heart to think about it. And many of them are from underprivileged homes and from families that are not careful with their lifestyle, and for kids allowed to run free up and down the streets without supervision. Oh, friend, hear me. Hear me. The hour is late. Now call, please, quickly. If you desire to talk with me a minute, I would be delighted to talk with you. I'm here for your spiritual direction, and I want everybody to hit that share button before this program is over and share this with hundreds and hundreds. I wish every friend I got would share it with every friend you've got. If you do that, that's nearly 5,000 friends I've got. Okay, nearly 5,000. Only 1,000 or so follow me, but the rest have access to my the part where everybody gets. I can't even keep up with it all. But you have access to that, and I hope you'll share it. And I hope we'll shake America and shake North Carolina and shake Charlotte. I want Charlotte to shake with this call of God and this turning back to Christ, this conviction of the Holy Ghost. I'm believing. I'm believing for wonders in the heavens above. I'm believing for wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. It's in the book of Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, 18, 19, 20. Wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord's come. Hey, give us a call. I'm waiting on you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Notice that. Without natural affection. Oh, I mean, some of the things I've talked about, you know, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hidden, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. From such turn away. Friend, it's a closing hour. I love you. I hope you'll be in church with me tomorrow. I'd love to have you 11 o'clock. Don't come if you're not willing to sanitize your hands when you come in the door. And you're not willing to set in a way that doesn't you know, put you on top of somebody else. I mean, be wise. Be wise. Don't be an ignorant person. I've heard so many churches where they had no distancing thing going on, no sanitizing nothing going on, and they've had an onslaught of people getting sick and dying. We've had none of that because this building will be so sanitized in the morning. Like I said earlier, the cockroaches will be running for cover. That's exactly how I'm committed. I'm committed to take care of you. It'll be safer here than at the grocery store. It'll be safer here than in the drug store. It'll certainly be safer than Walmart. I promise you. No ifs and ands about it. No ifs and ends about it. So if you are going to Walmart and you won't go to church, you're a hypocrite. You understand? You're a great old big hypocrite. That's all you are. Going to Walmart, but you can't go to church. You just needed an excuse. That's what you did. You're lazy. You wanted to sit at home. You wanted to hear it on the computer or the radio and be lazy. Come on, get out of that laziness. Get back in the house of God. But go somewhere where it's safe. Somewhere that they're doing the right things. Don't go. We had a church that came over to our camp meeting, about 3 carloads, and the whole bunch of them crowded in on one pew, shoulder to shoulder, from one end to the other. And they knew we were dissing, they knew what we were doing, but they were being a show-off. You know, we're protected. I'm telling you right now, you're both physical and you're spiritual, but you need to take care of things. I've had the flu because I got around somebody with the flu bug. And so I'm sensible enough that I'm protecting my body because I belong to you and I want to take care of you and I want to do the right thing for you. That's my life. My life is serving you. I wear a shield. Look here. I like this. This is what all my teachers are going to wear. See? You can't. Well, I guess you can. I sound different when I put this on. So I guess I'm a little stronger on the internet. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was going to do all of that. But I wanted you to see what our teachers are doing and what you can do. I mean, you can buy that in the stores. I don't know where all. Somebody got it for me and brought it to me. I got one in my car. So when I go in the grocery store, I don't have to wear these masks. I can't stand them. I don't like eating my own carbon dioxide that I just breathed out of my lungs. And so I like that. And you could tell it sounded different, but I love you. I really do. I hope you're going to be with me tomorrow. I sure would love to have you. I care about you. Our school is going to be a great place. I promise you our school is going to be a safe place. And we're going to do our best to bless you. And listen, if you're not saved, could I help you right now receive Christ? I got 60 seconds. Would you let Christ come in your life? Would you let Jesus take over? Let me tell you what to do right now. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and turn your faith up to Christ and his shed blood and believe Jesus to wash you in his blood. Will you do that? Can you believe him right now to wash you in his blood? I believe you can. Believe him right now to wash you in his blood. Believe him right now to wash you in his blood. He's ready. He'll make a new creature out of you. You'll never be the same again. You never will. I love you. I care about you. I care about your soul. I want you to serve Jesus. I want you to serve Jesus. I want you to love the Lord. I want you to give your life to him. Hit that share button now and be with me in church tomorrow. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. I love you. Jesus is real. He'll be real for you.
I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way.
Washed away.
Washed away.
Saved.
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 My grace. place of my God. My name is in the book of my sins. Every one of my sinners called away.
I've been saved by the wonderful, wonderful grace.